Right. We cherish our children because they are precious to us. And it makes me wonder, though, you know, in the United States, if we care about our children so much, then why are there so many abortions in America? And that's what I want to talk about tonight, is abortion, the issue of it. Matthew 19:14 says, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Are we hindering the children when they are aborted? I think so. But we do know that, you know, if they are aborted, it says the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. It belongs to little children. So we know that they'll be going to heaven if they do die. Here's a good illustration. I don't know if you can see it all up there, but there's an African-American sitting up in heaven with a little baby that has a shirt that says unborn on it. And the African-American says, "I know how you feel. When I was a slave down there, the courts didn't think I was fully human either." How true is that today? This is not a picture of abortion. This is the opposite. This is a, I don't know if you can see it up there, but there is a little hand grabbing onto the surgeon's finger. It's weird to me how on one side you have those who do everything they can to save a life of a child, and on the other hand you have those who abort a child. I tried looking up images for illustrations of the sermon, and I shouldn't have done that. There's too many bad things out there that have happened to children. And I wouldn't recommend anybody looking up that stuff. Ever. So what is abortion? James 2:26 says that the body without the spirit is dead. We know that a child, once it's conceived, there is a spirit inside of that child. Because if the spirit wasn't there, then it would be dead. And it wouldn't be growing. So we know that there is a life in there that has a spirit. And the phrase "with child" is used in the Bible. It never says that there is a mother with fetus or with an embryo. It never says that. It says it was with child. So what is abortion? It's the taking the life of a child. I want to read a poem called "The Abortion Poem." I saw this on MySpace, and it was a good one. Month 1. "Mommy, I am only 8 inches long, but I have all my organs. I love the sound of your voice. Every time I hear it, I wave my arms and legs. The sound of your heartbeat is my favorite lullaby." Month 2. "Mommy, today I learned how to suck my thumb. If you could see me, you'd definitely tell that I am a baby. I'm not big enough to survive outside my home, though. It's so nice and warm in here." Month 3. "You know what, Mommy? I'm a girl. I hope that makes you happy. I always want to make you happy. I don't like it when you cry. You sound so sad. It makes me sad, too. And I cry with you, even though you can't hear me." Month 4. "Mommy, my hair is starting to grow. It is very short and fine, but I will have a lot of it. I spend a lot of my time exercising. I can turn my head and curl my fingers and toes and stretch my arms and legs. I am becoming quite good at it, too." Month 5. "You went to the doctor today. Mommy, he lied to you. He said that I'm not a baby. I am a baby, Mommy. You're a baby. I think and feel. Mommy, what's abortion?" Month 6. "I can hear the doctor again. I don't like him. He seems cold and heartless. Something is intruding my home. The doctor called it a needle. Mommy, what is it? It burns. Please make him stop. I can't get away from it. Mommy, help me." No. Month 7. "Mommy, I'm okay. I'm in Jesus' arms. He is holding me. He told me about abortion. Why didn't you want me, Mommy? Every abortion is just one more heart that it was stopped, two more eyes that will never see, two more hands that will never touch, two more legs that will never run, one more mouth that will never speak. I want to go through some facts on abortion, some things that might make you more aware of how much it is affecting our culture. The likelihood of having an abortion. 43% of all women will have one abortion by age 45. That's almost half. And 47% of all abortions come from women who have already had at least one abortion. So repeat. So who's having abortions? We know they're women. Obviously. Pretty sure. But the ages we're talking about here. 48% of women are 25 years old and above. That makes 52% under the age of 25. Very young people, about half of them. Of those 52%, 32% are women between 20 and 24 years old. 20% are young adults between 15 and 19 years old. And 1% are girls under the age of 15. And abortions are in marriages too. 9.4% of abortions come from divorced women. 18.4% are from married women. See, I don't understand that. If they're married and you have that home already set up, why would you not want to have that child? Makes me understand something. 64.4% of abortions come from women that have never been married, that had the child out of wedlock. It might seem to me like they sin by having sex outside of marriage, and then they go even farther and they don't take responsibility for their actions, and so they abort the child. Abortions in religion. Did you guys know that there are more abortions with people who claim to be religious than there are abortions with people who don't claim religious affiliation? Protestants take up 37% about. Catholics are about 31%. Born-again evangelical are about 18%. And ones with no religious affiliation are 23.7%. Why are Christians, so-called Christians, setting this kind of an example? The Jewish people, they have 1.3%. I wonder why that is. Maybe they have more of a fear of God or more respect for life than some of us. Here's some reasons that people give for having abortions. The child is conceived out of wedlock. The parents are incapable of caring for the child. The child is disabled, or the child won't have a normal life. I was talking to my coworker, and did you guys hear that thing about the women? I forget where it was. They all got pregnant, and they were school-age girls, and they got pregnant because they wanted to start a community or something. Okay, I need to get that. You heard about that? Someone? Okay. I'm just making sure. Anyway, I started talking to him. That's what started it. And I said, you know, I started talking about abortion a little bit. Then I found out that he and his wife had had an abortion. His wife is diabetic, and she went to insulin shock or something like that when she was pregnant, and it caused the child to be brain damaged, and the likelihood of it surviving the pregnancy was minimum, like very small chance. And when you get in that situation, it's hard to know exactly what to say in that situation. The only thing you can think of to say is, you know, it's still a child, right? It's still a child. mother and father are not ready yet. That's another reason for abortion. If you're not ready, maybe you shouldn't be doing something. The mother was raped. I'm going to take care of that one in a minute. The mother's life is in danger. I remember when Asher was, when Tracy was still pregnant with Asher, I remember saying to her, this is how some conversations go when you're expecting a child. I was like, you know, Tracy, if it comes down between me choosing your life and the life of the child, I'm going to choose your life. You know what she said to me? If it comes down between my life and my child's life, I'm going to choose my child. That's the way a mother's love should be for their children. I don't know. I just don't get how you can have two sides. The one that's God-given, that we take care of our child, and the other, because of sin, we want to get rid of it. It's something I just can't get my head around. These are going to be some percentages of why women have abortions. Rape was 1%, and incest. That's a very small number. But, you know, it still happens, right? You'll hear that excuse a lot that, what about the people who got raped? They have a right to, you know, not have that child. They did nothing wrong. You know, it's not right. You know, the only thing I can think to say is, you know, it's still a child. It's still someone's life. You can take something that was horrendous and ugly and horrible and make it something beautiful. And even if you don't want to, you know, take responsibility, I mean, you maybe don't want to raise a child on your own, or for the situation is, I'm presenting the idea that abortion should not be the last resort. Adoption should be the last resort. If you don't think you can handle it, or the emotional trauma of it, try adoption instead. Just follow through. It's still beautiful. 6% of abortions are because of health problems. Another small number. Because of the mother or the child having some kind of illness or something. It's not healthy for the mother to give birth or the child has a disorder or is disabled. And you know what? It's still a child. And if I could, I would, when you're arguing or just debating the issue of abortion with somebody, and they bring up these two points, tell them that you'll trade them, these two points, for that. 93% of abortions are because of social reasons. Unwanted or inconvenient babies. I'd be willing to trade those 7% for the other 93%, because at least we'll be getting somewhere. And then we'll go and work on the 7%. Where do abortions occur? 83% of all abortions occur in developing countries. And the rest occur in developed countries like the United States. So where does the United States fit into this? There's 1,370,000 abortions per year in the U.S. That makes 3,700 abortions per day, 154 abortions per hour, 2 to 3 abortions per minute. So every 20 to 30 seconds, an unborn baby dies in the U.S. So by the time I'm done with the sermon, in the U.S., about 75 babies will be dead. And this is just the U.S. The population of New York City, what do you think it is about? It's about 8 million. We went to New York City and there's tons of people there. Like everywhere you go, every street you walk on, hundreds of people. You go on the subway system, there's a lot of people down there. It's huge. The population of California is another place where there's a lot of people there. 33,871,648. Do you guys know how many abortions occur worldwide per year? That's about the total of the population of California and the population of New York City. Worldwide per year. Per day? Per hour. Can you all close your eyes for a second? Every second, my baby dies. God received them. You can open your eyes. You know, all these facts I've listed are just recorded abortions. I didn't know that birth control could be abortive. I wonder how many abortions are happening because people don't realize it. You need to, if you're taking birth control or anything, you should ask your doctor to make sure that they are non-abortive. Because you don't want to be ignorant or of the fact that you could be killing someone without knowing it. Matthew 18:14 says, "In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost." I took a little out of context, but it still applies. God doesn't want the children to suffer. But this also made me think about something. Is it better for a child to die when it's in the womb than to be raised by those kind of parents who would be willing to give it up because they go to be to heaven? And as I was thinking about that, you know, it's I would rather have them have the free will to choose to be with God than have that forced upon them by their lives being taken from them. I want to share with you a video. I'm not sure if you'll be able to hear it good enough, but I'll see if I can.
Before I was making this film, the director called me from New York, "Are you rehearsing?" I told him, "We don't have the actress." So my character is very quiet and he listened. But in order for me to rehearse his role, I needed to do it with the actresses. So I ended up going to an abortion clinic. When I arrived that morning, I forgot about the film. I was in shock when I saw all these young ladies, 15, 16, 17-year-old girls going in with their faces, with their tears, that I was so frustrated because I wasn't trained to do anything. So then I saw this little group outside trying to convince them not to do it. So I just told them, "I'm here to help." Next thing you know, this lady came to me from the group and tells me, "You know what, this couple, they don't speak English, you talk to them." I mean, I jumped like, "Oh, yeah, what am I going to..." I didn't want to sound like I didn't know what to say. So I said, sure. Next thing you know, they were in front of me. This couple, very, very poor, from Mexico, from Puebla. They didn't speak English. And they recognized me from the soap operas. All of a sudden, I end up talking to them for like 45 minutes about life, about faith, about Mexico, about their dreams, about their jobs, about everything. I gave them a little teddy bear, and I gave them a little carriola. How do you say carriola? Stroller. She started crying, and they left. They didn't go in. Finally, I moved to New York. I finished the film, and when I came back to Los Angeles, I received a call months later from the man who was with her. "Eduardo, this is Javier, and I have great news. My boy was born yesterday, and I want to ask your permission because I would love to call him Eduardo." phone down, and I couldn't even talk. The most, noble thing I ever done in my life. It changed my life. It was beautiful. When I went to the hospital and I met the baby, and weeks later I was having Eduardito in my hands. It was beautiful. And by the grace of God, I was able to save this baby.
By the grace of God. If you wonder how you can help, there's a lot of areas that you can. There are those people who are considering abortion, like these, that couple was. And if you know someone like that, who's really considering it, do what this guy did. He just talked to them. You know, spend time with them, discuss things with them. There's kind of a difference between that and someone who doesn't want the child. They refuse to accept their responsibility for creating that child. Maybe talk with them still, you know, but show them that adoption could be the last resort and not abortion, anything but that. How can you help someone who has already had abortion? You know, there's a difference between someone who regrets having the abortion and someone who has no regret or no guilt. With someone who has no guilt about something, it's hard to talk to them about it because their hearts are so calloused over it. They feel justified by their actions. But with someone who's, you know, this has been on their heart because they feel bad because of what they did, there's a door for you. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned. Share that verse with them, you know. We've all messed up. I'm just as guilty in my sins as they are, you know. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You know, God is willing to forgive us for those sins we've committed. Even if it's abortion, even if it's murder, whatever it is, rape, He can still forgive us. Other ways to help are to get involved. Maybe go to an abortion clinic and stand outside with a group of people and talk with the people who are going in. So donate your time to it. Or your money. I'm sure if we donated some money right now and put a special offering for abortion on it, I'm sure the elders would find a way to get it to where it needs to go. And what I want you to remember tonight, you know, is abortion is more than politics. It's the difference between the life and the death of the child. Thank you.